Greetings from upstate New York. Yesterday it was a blast of fall color. Today it's a blanket of white snow. Welcome to my world here. Thanks for tuning in the Pastor Duke podcast, the hippy dippy preacher man, as people have called me through the years. And I love it. I love it. Hope to live up to it. Today's title, COVID, election, economy. I'm a Christian. What do I do? Oh my goodness, what a world we're facing now. Well, I posted in my Facebook today some thoughts that I think are applicable, and I want to expand them. We're 4 days out from an election, and one thing both sides share deeply. This ain't like no other election. Both sides are saying everything is on the line, and I believe they're right. Both sides believe the other side is poised for violence. And that's a little bit of reason to fear at the human level. Both sides have serious doubts to the integrity of this election. That's sad. I say stop, stop, stop. Let's get above this. Look at the prophetic scriptures. Jesus said of the time of his return, iniquity shall abound, lawlessness shall abound, as it's interpreted in some versions. Jesus said of the time of his return, the love of many will wax cold. Cha-ching, we're there. People against people, perilous, dangerous time shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Second Timothy 3, Apostle Paul. Globalism will be looming. It's here. That's really the main issue in this election. Shall we be a nation, or shall we blend into a global world order, which is prophesied? A cashless economy will be ready to implement. We're almost there. I'm told 93% of our commerce last year in America was digital. There's nothing at all evil about digital money, but the interesting point is 2,000 years ago, John the Apostle, exiled to the island of Patmos, told us in Revelation chapter 13 that at the time of the end, people will buy and sell by a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, and without the mark, they won't be able to buy or sell. In other words, it will be mandatory. And so now we have things looming all around us about mandatory, possibly, vaccines. So time will tell on that. But just having it in the conversation, I find it really biblically, prophetically interesting. And so what shall it prop? The cashless economy will be upon us. But I say, what shall it profit you to win your side politically and lose your own soul? I say, vote for Jesus in your heart and be you ready for perhaps some fireworks. And I hope and pray there are no fireworks. And so in the midst of all of this, as followers of Jesus, what do we do? Well, when you don't know exactly what to do, we do know what not to do. There's a whole bunch of things that are very clear to us. We know vengeance is not mine. We're not called to be vigilantes. We're not called to be violent. We're called to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We're called to be aware. God commended the men of Issachar back in the Chronicles. He commended them for being men who understood their times and knew what to do. And that's what we're seeking in our day, on our unprecedented day in American history. And so we know we're not called to hate. We're not called to blame shift. We're not called to play dirty back to those who perhaps would do evil unto us. And boy, what a time it is, that lurking, looming darkness, encroachment. I remember pulling into Cook Road Baptist Church as an 18-year-old kid getting ready to vote for my first presidential election. I was an anti-war activist, Vietnam, that is. I had been wrapped up in the drug culture, and of course Jesus was just about to set me free from that. But I pulled in with McGovern stickers all over my car, and they were the only ones, bumper stickers like that, in the church parking lot. And but I had no fear that my car windows would be broken out or my tires would be slashed. And yet this election is kind of different. I remember election 2016, I was traveling the world, traveling the country, literally from Alaska, Washington State, all the way to Massachusetts. I was on Cape Cod the day of the election, and I just saw almost no presidential signs at all because things were changing politically. There was an amplification, an intensity. The divide between the people groups were so great that it's just not worth taking the risk of putting what I think politically out in front of my house, on my car, perhaps to be targeted. And that intensity has really magnified in 2020 versus 2016. And so, you know, we, with the eyes of faith and the Holy Spirit living inside of us to enlighten us, to give us His wisdom, you know, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, we need that mind. And I think we look at it the wrong way a lot of times. We look at, oh, no, look at the problems politically. And I think we should just kind of sit back and take a bigger look. I remember a song that was taught here in our church years ago. I love it, love it, love it. I'll give you the lyrics. It said, why complain about the problem? Rejoice in the opportunity. You've got a chance to grow in grace. Take hold of responsibility. The reward is worth the suffering. There's glory some sweet day. Praise God for the problems in our way. There are some giants before us politically, and just remember that the God who lives within us is sovereign. He's the giant slayer. It wasn't David that took down that giant. David would be the first to tell you that. It was God in him. It was the Lord. And that same Lord that was with David is with us. And we're not called to slay giants in our day. We're called to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We're called to have our eyes on Him. We're called to have our hands on the plow. We're on mission. And our mission isn't just the advancement of the American Declaration of Independence, the American Constitution. We're on a mission to give glory to God, to get the name of Jesus out to our generation, to our world. This is what makes it so unpopular. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. That's our mission, and we must be aware, we must be awake Christian, not to allow the hysteria of politics to get us off mission. Hand always on the plow. And so we know what not to do, but what do we do? I'd like us to focus for a moment this morning about the COVID. What do we do about COVID? Well, like anything, be wise as serpents, harmless as dove. Be aware. Listen to everything you can on both sides. Listen to different views than your own, as painful as it might be. But you don't learn anything when you're just listening to what you think over and over and over again. I know people think that I'm really aware because I listen to the same news broadcasters 12 hours a day. That might just be propaganda. That might just be brainwashing. And so we have to triangulate. We have to listen to the different voices, and we have to remember what they said last time. I think we need to follow the money. I think we need to see who is in bed with who. I think we need to stop taking other people's word for things and do our own homework. I think we need to visit the United Nations agenda, learn about Agenda 21 in their own words, learn about movements that are going on behind the scenes that would be foundational for what's going on with COVID. There's two views on it. One would be it's a pandemic. Another view, more sinister, would be it's a plandemic. And being a follower of Jesus and aware of my adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, I do have a bit of a conspiratorial view of history. Why? Because we know from Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. We know the enemy's agenda. He's moving toward a globalist one-world government. So, how would I interpret what I see in the news? Anything moving away from nationalism towards globalism makes me suspect. It makes me think it's the work of the enemy. And I'm not angry at people who are deceived. My heart is broken for those who are deceived. They're not my enemies. But I think many times they're under the control of our enemy. And my goal would be to be a bright and shining light so they could see Jesus in me. And Jesus said, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And so I'm on mission to reach these people, not to condemn them. So when I look at COVID, I listen to the different voices. And when I see someone or a movement, World Health Organization, Dr. Fauci, some of Barbara Birx, and when they do a 180, that makes me a bit uncomfortable. And then when I see who is funding them, when I begin to see George Soros money beneath it, when I begin to see Bill Gates' money part of all of this, when I begin to see Silicon Valley's money kind of laying the foundation for the development of vaccines, knowing that there's a eugenicist movement kind of up alongside of that. I see who is in line to make a lot of money when these vaccines become viable, hopefully. But I'm a little nervous about it all, to be honest with you. My hope is not in the vaccine. My hope is in the blood of Jesus. And so more on a more practical basis concerning COVID here in New York, we're kind of a fairly locked down deep blue state. We have had, I think, the highest number of deaths, especially in the early time. Our numbers are actually quite low right now. I'm thankful for that. But our governor chose to put thousands of infected COVID-19 patients in rest homes, and the rest is history. And so that's a done deal. And I'm living in the midst of all that. And so battle on. I didn't cause it. I can't fix it. But I want to be aware. And I don't want to be dangerous. I don't want to be inciting people towards hate. I just want to incite people towards love, incite them towards being aware, encourage them to be safe and to be sound. But it's every day we go out in public, we have to slap on our masks. And I don't see anybody gloving up much anymore. And we do wash our hands, which I think is wise anyway. Even if there was no such thing as COVID, that would be a good thing. But, you know, people are kind of struggling. I have some great friends who just don't want to wear a mask, and they think it's foolish. And I have friends who think that, men, I need the mask up. And I'm somewhere in between. My heart doesn't want to wear a mask. I'm not afraid of the virus near as much as I was. I don't want to be foolish. I don't want to go out and get the virus. So I just kind of somewhere in the middle on all that. But for me, I slap on the mask and I go in because I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be an offense to people. I hate, like everybody else, my own breaths suffocating me, and not confident that the mask would really block too much going out from me or coming in through the mask to me. There's a lot of different thoughts on all of that. But I kind of lean towards I'm going to kind of blend in. I don't want to be an offense. I don't want to be a stumbling block to somebody. I don't want to incite fear in somebody by being maskless and they're fearful that I'm going to infect them. So I'll be compliant, and I don't do so because I'm a wimp. I do it because I love people. So how do we handle the whole COVID situation? A verse I don't always like so much, but the Bible says, let your moderation be known unto all men.
And so I think moderation is always an important thing. I don't want to be on the far left. I don't want to be on the far right. I used to say, you know, the only thing in the center is yellow lines and dead skunks, and I don't want to be that. But as I've grown older, I find myself less militant. I realize now I have two ears and only one mouth. There's a lot of verses in the Proverbs. I call them KMS verses, keep mouth shut. And so we got to find that balance between being compliant and yet being leaders, not being in bondage to the foolish lies of politically minded agendas. So pray for wisdom in these matters. Pray for protection. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. So those are some thoughts on how to handle the COVID thing. I am thankful that the death rate is down low with the treatments we now have, the various types of treatments, the development of a vaccine, which makes me nervous. The speed of it makes me nervous. The ingredients, if it contains fetal baby parts, fetal tissue, dead babies, I don't want it in my vaccine. If it contains heavy metals, which they almost always do, I don't want it in my vaccine. I think the vaccine could be more dangerous to us health-wise, my view, than the COVID-19 virus itself. And so these are things that we just have to think through, study through, and have our ears open, and be careful, little mouth, what you say. For your Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little tongue, what you say. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And so it's been a while since I've sang that song with the kids, but it's still a good song. Now, some thoughts concerning the election. Well, number one, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. No matter who wins the election, we all got to go to work on Wednesday morning. No matter who wins the election, Jesus is still king. So that's my victory. Victory is guaranteed to those of us who've chosen to follow Jesus. We have victory at the foot of the cross. We have the forgiveness of sins. And like I'd said before, what shall it profit us to win the election and lose our own soul? So we must always have the eternal perspective when we're facing temporary political events. Again, I think the same principles that we looked at concerning COVID are all in application here. Study, listen, ears open, ear to the rail, learn, and then follow the money. Who's supporting who? And then take an honest look at who's for who? Who's funding them? Where are they heading? What will their agenda be? And then, of course, the character of the individual is in play. As always, if somebody is a known liar and they tell you one thing, that holds you in suspect concerning the promises that they make. So the election this year is like none other. The intensity is like no other time. I believe that the Democratic Party is planning to stack the court, the Supreme Court, that is. I think the anger over the recent judicial appointment so close to the election, that anger has fueled them. And some of them are openly saying that they'll stack the court and that will fundamentally change America. I'm hoping America doesn't fundamentally get changed unless it fundamentally gets changed back to more of a constitutional republic. And so I obviously have strong political views, pro-life as a believer, pro-Israel as a believer, believing that the Abrahamic covenant is the law that governs the universe. God said, I'll bless those who bless the Jew, and I'll curse those who curse the Jew. And look at the history of the world for that one just on a moment. The Egyptians blessed the Jews back at the time when Joseph arrived, and they certainly turned against them later under other pharaohs who knew not Joseph. But for a couple hundred years, they really blessed. The nation of Israel literally became a nation under the umbrella of the Egyptian Empire way back when. And God said, I'll bless those who bless the Jew. And here we are, almost 4,000 years later, and they're still a nation. And yet other nations that really went up against Israel, the Canaanite people, when's the last time you had lunch with a Philistine, with an Ammonite? And so the nations that opposed Israel went down. Look what happened to the Assyrian Empire. They conquered Israel because Israel to the north there of Judah had their prophets slew them, turned completely away from God, and God used the wicked Assyrian Empire to bring Israel down, but they still reaped what they sowed. The Assyrian Empire fell. The Babylonian Empire, which conquered Judah, God used them for that purpose, but because of their idolatry and their hatred of Israel, they fell. The Grecian Empire and their mockery of things that were holy, Antiochus Epiphanes, Tetrarch there under Greece in Rome, in Jerusalem, offered a swine on the altar, and the Grecian Empire went down, short-lived. And then the Roman Empire, which was the controlling people group over Israel at the time of Jesus and their abuse of the Jewish people, the Roman Empire fell. Then you look at America, that we blessed Israel under Harry Truman, recognizing Israel and their rebirth as a modern state, a legitimate modern state, a right to exist in 1948. And America launched into probably the next 20 years of the most prosperous years in the history of America. We had the birth of the suburbs. We had the birth of the interstate highway system. We had the birth of the digital computer. And so God will bless those who bless the Jew. So those are underlying factors when I look at politics. I don't care what party somebody's in. I care about what position. And I don't draw my positions from emotion. I don't draw my positions by taking a poll and see what the majority thinks and be part of groupthink. I want to be Bible think. I want to be Christian think. I want the Holy Spirit sitting on the throne of my heart, guiding my mind, guiding my vote. And so I look at moral issues as primary. They're hardly mentioned anymore, but we are told in the scriptures at the time of Christ's return, the world will look just like Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them. And there once were sodomy laws on our American legal books. And today you use the word sodomy and people don't even know what you're talking about. God said, I'll bless that nation whose God is the Lord. God, in my view, has the right of determining what is morally right and what is morally wrong. Those that oppose it are not my enemies. They're just going to stand before God in their shoes and give account. And I would think my calling would be to stand lovingly in their face and warn them a bit and love them unconditionally. And hopefully they would find that going the Judeo-moral, historic, Christian, moral value way would be much better for them. And so when I think of the election, I think I'm a Christian first. I want the Spirit of Christ guiding me by biblical, moral, historical principles. The Abrahamic covenant is huge with me. I want to bless those who bless the Jew. I'm thankful that our nation, after three presidents promised and failed to deliver on Jerusalem becoming recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Jerusalem, move our embassy there. I think that was a good move, recognizing the Golan Heights as part of the Jewish rightful property line. I think that was a good move. I'm grateful for the peace that seems to be breaking out in the Middle East and some of the Arab and Muslim nations that have historically hated the Jews seem to be trying to broker a little bit of peace. I'm thankful for that. It was just about 4 or 5 years ago, and we had the winter or the storm across the Middle East and the war and revolution and down go dictators, but it was tragic, and lots and lots and lots of innocent Muslim people died because of that political activity. So I'm glad that there's less death in that part of the world, and I think that's the result of politics lining up with the scriptures. And I go with principle over personality. Sometimes through the years, I've had to pinch my nose and cast my vote because I did not personally like the personality of the person I'm voting for. But I try to tune that out and I vote life, and I vote pro-Israel stand and a strong nation. I'm against globalism. I'm for nationalism. I want my friends in Sweden to have a prosperous nation. I want the very best for every nation. I stand against globalization. And I know it's kind of weird, but I know globalization is going to win in the end. But in the meantime, I'm going to oppose it. John the Baptist lifted up his voice in the wilderness and cried out against the sin of his people in his day, and he was martyred for it. But the fact that Jesus died on the cross wasn't a sign of weakness. It wasn't a sign of losing. It was the plan. And I find so comforting those that were opposing Jesus the most on the Roman side, Herod, Pilate, on the Jewish side, Annas, the former high priest, Caiaphas, the high priest, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, who hated one another, colluded together to fight against Jesus, but in their seeming victory over Jesus to eliminate him, they really didn't win at all, did they? We won. Christ went to the cross. It wasn't weakness, it was love. And those that opposed him only fulfilled his plan. And I promise you, the same thing's happening now as we approach the second advent of Jesus. Those that are opposing him on the political sides, those that hate everything Jesus stands for, the traditional moral values of the Judeo-Christian movement in their opposition of God are only fulfilling the plan of God. So some thoughts on COVID, some thoughts on the elections, some thoughts on the economy. Oh, a whole nother situation. Well, it was COVID that kind of led to the economy issues that are standing before us. I just heard in the news that we had a 33% increase in productivity. This past quarter, down 31% in the second quarter and up 33% this quarter. So that encourages me, but we've printed a lot of money. And when that happens, it's really just devaluating our currency. Inflation has begun, I think, and I'd be thrilled if I'm wrong, but my study of history tells me, my study of economics tells me that inflation is going to be in our face in the next 5 years like we've never known before. And so my encouragement is this. David wrote in the Psalms, I've been young, I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Jesus would say about all this, I believe, fear not, I am with you. God provided a table for his people in the wilderness, and God loves us as much as he loves those people. But on the more practical side, I would say, be ready. Be ready for things coming down. People say, are you a prepper, Pastor Duke? Well, kind of, I'm a prepper, yeah. Kind of in the sense my great-grandparents were all preppers. In the summer, they prepared they grew their food. In the late summer and early fall, they preserved their food and they put certain things in the root cellar and they canned their things. They had food for the season. And I remember when I wasn't there, but I've read about the Great Depression, when the stock market crashed in 1929 and people were jumping off of buildings and there were soup kitchens and food lines, and our nation really suffered economically, 20-25% unemployment during those sad days. Out on the farm, chickens still laid their eggs, the pigs still made bacon, and the corn still grew. And the people on the farms did not feel the effect of the Great Depression near like the people in the cities. My mom was a little girl, and she would literally go out to the farm, the Mosier farm, and they just were better days out in the country on the farm, picking berries and making pies, and just kind of got away from some of the hardships that were found more in the city. So, yes, I'm a prepper for all of that. I have my food. I'm kind of old school, kind of grow as much of my own food as I can, and canning and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know if that's my family heritage, my hippie heritage, my spiritual preparedness. I just have a lot of fun doing it. So I want to be as system independent as possible. I generate my own power on my roof. I'm solar, but I'm still part of the system. You almost can't be energy. It's hard to be off the grid is what I'm saying. I generate electricity in the day and put it back in the system. And at night when the sun is not shining, I'm pulling back from the grid. At the end of the year, I save about $1,200. I generate more electricity than I use, and it makes me feel good. I think we should be prepared for power outages. I think we should have some spare water, ability to get water, keep our house functioning and be comfortable in the midst of these things. I think even if there wasn't COVID, even if there wasn't economic fearful things brewing in our face, I still think preparedness is a wise way to live. Be ready. Be ready, Jesus said. Be ready spiritually is most important. Be aware of what's going on in the world. I do believe with all of my heart, these are the last days. These are the days that Jesus told us would come. Specific events have happened that the prophets told us need to happen for the return of Christ, the greatest of which is the rebirth of the modern state of Israel, 1948, just a few years before I was born, the retaking of the holy city in June 10th, 1967. I saw it on the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite as the Jews retook their holy city on that final day of the Six-Day War. The Jews were home. They've retaken their holy city. And we've seen the other prophecies come to place, the rise of Russia, the great bear of the north, aligning with Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, Germany, which was part, still is, sort of part of the European Union, kind of sucking up with Russia over the pipeline and getting their power resource from Russia. Isn't that interesting? Ezekiel told us to look out for that. And that's here. That's huge. That is huge. And so, well, everybody's depressed about the election, depressed about COVID, depressed about the economy and the violence and racial tension. And riots brewing here, man. It just drives me to Jesus. Gets my eyes looking to him. Isn't it great to be on the winning team? And so drink it all in. Be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Let the opportunities that all of this affords us move us to Christ, to move us to prayer, to move us to love. Let's not be like the world around us. Let's keep our eyes on him. And so I want to thank you for being with me again here today, gearing up for difficult days upon us. I pray that this podcast is a blessing to you. I pray that you will like it, that you will subscribe, and you'll share it with your friends. Help me get the gospel to the ends of the earth. Be encouragement to God's people and kind of be in the face of the enemy. So, as always, eyes on the Lord, hand on the plow. God bless you. Jesus loves you. Have a great day.